Welcome to our podcast here at the City on the Hill. This is all about the Remnant, and joining me at the table is Nat, Benji, my wife Julie, and of course, me, myself, and I. God bless you for being here. I'm so glad that you could join us, and as always, our goal is to please the Lord. Our goal is to talk about Remnant stuff.
Amen. Yes.
And to, we were actually just talking about this. I'm just going to jump in, just start talking. We were just talking about what our purpose is here. And I sat here and I said, you know, everything we're saying is, it sounds good. I said, but in the end, our purpose is for what we're saying to reach the ears of those people that have a heart to be a part of the Remnant. That's our goal. And so if your heart is stirred, maybe you don't know anything about the Remnant, but maybe your heart is stirred saying, God, I know that there's more. I know that there's more than what I'm being told. I know that there's more than what I understand. I know that there's more than what I turn on these messages I hear. And I know that there's more, God. Then maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to touch your heart to say, listen to this message about a remnant and for the remnant. And actually today, you know, we get into a lot of different things here to try to help the remnant. But today we're actually going to be talking about examples of the remnant, in particularly in the Word of God. Where can we point out where the remnant was used in the Word of God? And just let me start by saying this, just reminding us that a remnant is a small piece of something bigger. That's what a remnant is. It's a small piece of something bigger. And throughout the Word of God, from the beginning of the to the end, it was the remnant that God used. It was the remnant that God blessed. It was the remnant that God was able many times to save the larger piece because of what the remnant did. The remnant message is not only important, but it is of utmost importance because it is the remnant that is going to bring the spirit of Elijah so that we can bring Jesus back. It is the remnant. And so I want to jump into it, guys and gal. I want to get into just talking about places in the Word of God. This is going to be very, I don't particularly like this word because it immediately engenders people thinking of, you know, thinking a certain way. But this is going to be very practical in nature. We are literally want to just bring out and point out that was a remnant, that was a remnant, that was a remnant, so that you can go and understand how God uses a remnant. And let me start with this, with the Word of God. Jesus said this. He said, many are called, few are chosen. And that sets a precedent that that's how God works. And if you go through the Word of God, and people say, but that's not fair. And I always tell people, God is not fair. He is not fair at all. God is just. He has a law. And with skin, as soon as I say the word law, people start turning it off. Oh, I don't like that word. But God is a God of justice. That's how he does things. He doesn't do things based on fairness. That's how humans do things. You don't trust me when I tell you. You do not want to do things in the human way of fairness.
And God using the remnant in every situation is actually the perfect example of God being just and not yes. fair because fairness in the world normally says majority rules in a lot of situations.
Yes.
But with God being just, the remnant always rising up, always striving to please him, that's what God always looks for.
That's right. And there is no human way. True justice can only be done by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
There is no human true justice. There just isn't. This is going to be ridiculous, but I was just as an example. I happened to have on one of those judge shows, and this particular one had three judges sitting there, and when the case was finished, there was not a unanimous decision. Two judges voted for a particular way. The third judge voted a different way. And because the majority ruled, like Benji said, they went with those two people. In my heart, in my mind, what I was watching, there was a grave injustice done because I believe the one judge is the only one that had it right. But because majority ruled, they went with the two judges. You see, even in our justice system, there are still elements of humanity and fairness that you can't overcome. The only true thing that is truly just is the will of God. Mm-hmm. And so going back to how God in his justice, he always uses a remnant. Mm-hmm. That is his plan. You can't argue with his plan. You say, well, if that's the way it is, I don't want to be a part of it. Well, then, you know, then you might be going to hell. I don't know what else to say. God, that's how God does things. He does things in the manner of many are called, few are chosen. Jesus even went so far as to say, he said, in that day, he said, there are going to be many there are going to say, Lord, Lord, we ministered for you. We did great works for you. We did all these things for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to look and say, I never knew you. And so again, these are harsh. They sound harsh, and people say, Pastor, why do you have to minister like that? But you can't minister the word of God unless you understand justice, and you can't minister the word of God unless you understand the remnant. So let's
before we go further, the all call is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the all call. That's the for every human that has ever existed. We are called to move toward God through Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, for example, then you see so many times where it says God has called a special people out of everyone who is on the face of the earth. So I just think that further, you know, it is an example of how there's a smaller group that responds, you know, that is called and responds to the call of God to be special.
Amen. Well, first of all, I like that term, the all call.
The all call.
I like that. And Benji, I apologize for coughing on you. I turned over here and coughed, and Benji's giving me this look like, what are you doing? But we're kind of stuck on the table.
I'm glad Benji's in front of me.
Yeah. So we're getting off topic here.
But Deuteronomy 14, verse 2 says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth.
Well, that's right.
The word of God.
Listen, our problem, as we sat down, and I always say this, I walk into the room a few minutes before we start. I say, hey, what are we going to talk about today? And we furiously write down just a few quick notes just of what we're talking about, literally moments before we turn on the cameras. And as they were writing down notes, the problem with talking about the remnant in the Word of God is that there's too much.
Because it's what it's all about.
There's too much because God's purpose always is to find a remnant that he can work through. And so let's just start throwing some stuff out there. We don't have to do it in any particular order, and we're not going to do it in any order. But let's just throw some things up out there. Let's start with you know, you hear people say the best place to begin is in the beginning. Let's start with Adam and Eve. God has this creation. He has this whole creation, but there's stuff happening. There's stuff happening because of what Lucifer did, because of what was going on the cosmic realm. This creation needed to be put back in order again. So what did God do? He brought this little garden, the Garden of Eden, this little, in all of creation, this little place, this little secret garden that he had hidden with under his protection, and he put into it two people, one by the name of Adam, one by the name of Eve. He brings in these two people. He says, these two people, this is my start of the redemption plan. And it was a remnant that God has, out of all of creation that he had created, he says, I'm starting with these two people, this redemption plan. And because, and through Adam and Eve, although they failed themselves, God had it built into his plan. He says, but I've got the devil, the serpent, he thinks that he's won, but he doesn't know that I've got a bigger plan that eventually brought us to Jesus and brought perfect redemption and salvation to us. But it started with a remnant in the Garden of Eden. And that gets us started off, to me, in the best way. It's at the very beginning of man. But even in the very beginning, God's plan was a remnant plan. So what are some other examples? What else are we talking about?
What about Abraham?
Abraham and Sarah. Again, you just go through the word of God, and you see that God's plan always started with a remnant. What did God start with? He started by going to Abraham and calling out to Abraham. Now, I know that it's not said exactly like this, but I think you understand what I mean when I say I can hear God say, Abraham, I'm looking for someone to start a covenant with, to have a covenant with. I'm looking for someone that has a heart to not just remember that there's a God in heaven, to not just remember that I created heaven and earth, but somebody that wants to have a blood covenant with me.
Yes.
Somebody that wants to have a blood covenant with me. I'm looking for someone, Abraham. And if you're willing to be that someone, I'm telling you, you have to leave your people. You have to leave your inheritance. But I've got an inheritance for you, Abraham. Will you follow my voice and go to a country far away from where you're used to being?
But couldn't God have just have said, just stay in your house and sit and think about how devoted you are to me?
You see,
he told him to do something physical that required a commitment.
Wait a minute, it required faith.
Yes.
It required faith.
Yes.
It required getting up and getting out of the natural. You say, but he was still on earth. Yes, he was on earth, but he had to get rid of the natural. He had to leave what was his. He had to leave where he was at. He had to go to a place. The Bible says in Hebrews, he went not knowing where he was going.
Right.
That's what Hebrews says. It says he went not knowing where he was going because he was doing it by faith. And that eventually led him to what we call the promised land. That eventually led him to a man by the name of Melchizedek, where he had to surrender everything. He went to the anointed king of Salem and surrendered himself. You see, God still expects those things today. Mm-hmm. He still expects you to find where the anointing is. He doesn't expect you to go find the nearest community center, and that's what I like to call most of these places, these churches. They call themselves churches. They're community centers is what they are. God doesn't want you finding a community center. He wants you finding where the anointing is. That's what God desires. And Abraham was sent to the promised land. He was sent to Melchizedek. He was sent to make this blood covenant with God to say, because God said, I have a plan. I have a plan, and I want you to be a part of that plan. I want you to be the vehicle I use so that Jesus himself is called the seed of Abraham. We are called the seed of Abraham. Why? Because God started with a remnant. With a remnant. Let me just maybe we should have done this one. Maybe we should have done this one first, but I told you, we're not doing it in any order. One of the greatest examples of a remnant is Noah.
Right, right.
He's one of the greatest examples of what a remnant is all about. God needed and wanted to bring about, again, he wanted to further his plan. And he looked around. Well, all I've got left is Noah. And he looked and he said to Noah, he said, Noah, I know it's never rained before. I know that no one knows what a flood is because it's never rained before. But Noah, something's coming. Something's going to be coming. And I'm telling you this because I want you to be my remnant. And I want you to build an ark. Even though you don't even know what you don't even know what a flood and rain, you don't even know what that is. If you can believe, if you can have faith, Noah, I'm going to bring salvation to you and to your family. Go ahead.
Can I interject for a second? On that note, it's Noah, one man and his family versus everybody else in the world. You cannot get more remnant-y than that. And the reason I'm saying that is because there is no size implication on the remnant. The remnant is a piece of something much bigger, but there's no size implication of that remnant as to how big it needs to be, how many people it needs to be, how small it needs to be. So given the track record of this church and this heritage, when the man of God of this heritage is saying this, a place this small in a town of Loganville that I can't even find its name on a regular map in this little town of Loganville, when the man of God is speaking things about destruction is coming and we need to be the one to bring Jesus back, we need to be listening.
Well, let me just kind of take that to, we're talking about Noah, and we're talking about God coming and saying, there's going to be a great destruction on the earth, Noah. There's going to be a great destruction, but I want you to be my remnant. You know, that happened in our heritage. You know, when God came to this little group of what we call Molokan Christians
in the 1800s.
That, again, I won't get into all that, but God came through this little prophet and drew all these maps and said, there's going to come a time where the destruction is going to come, and I want you, my people, my remnant here, to be ready. And it, you know, several decades later, now this prophet is, you know, in his 70s, I think. He was 13 when God first spoke. Now he's in his 70s when the prophet finally said, God said it's time. And so there was this small group of people that just because they had the word of God, again, this is my family. This is my heritage. This is what this church comes from and why God has chosen this ministry to do what it's doing now and speaking this remnant message to a larger group. But in the country of Armenia, this little group said, the prophet spoke. And so he said, destruction's coming. We don't see the destruction. We don't hear the destruction. Everybody else is saying everything is great. But God said, it's time now for us to leave. And based on the instructions given them, they got on their boats and came to this country. And, you know, there's much more to the story. You've heard me talk about the book, The Happiest People on Earth. I've told people to read because it talks about who we are and where we come from. But after those people came here to this country, it was shortly thereafter that the prophetic destruction did come. And it did kill. It killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, of Armenians, and scattered many more. When the Turks came in, the Muslim Turks came in, and who did they kill? They killed Christians. They killed every Christian that they could get a hold of. And the point I'm trying to make is that God had a remnant, though. He had a small prophetic remnant that heard his voice. And God said, because you've heard my voice, not only am I going to rescue you, but I'm going to take you to this country and I'm going to do something great through you. And God did. If you know the history of our heritage, you know that even the famous Azusa Street revival was spurred because they were in the area of where our people were at. Mm-hmm. That's a lot, not a lot of people know that fact. But God said, you're my remnant, and I'm going to use you to bless the nations. And God has still promised that to this heritage, that I'm going to use you as a voice to bring the remnant to me, to bring my remnant to safety. Because I know they'll tell you, weeks ago, God started speaking through me, and I tried not even to say it because I knew I know the consequences of it. But I just started saying, destruction is coming. Destruction is coming. Destruction is coming. And after that, God's now began to put things in place to actually put things together to show how things are going to work. But I started speaking, destruction's coming. And I know that when the prophet of God spoke that in Armenia, and people are like, what are you talking about? And, you know, 50, 60 years passed, and they're like, well, when is it happening? Well, I'm not saying it's going to be 50 and 60 years. It might be 5 or 6 months. It might be a year. I don't know when, but I know that God is saying, I'm ready to use a remnant again. Mm. I'm ready to use my remnant. And I believe that God has called us to give that message out, because that's in our prophetic DNA, going back 160 years to speak, say, hey, there's something coming. There's something coming. There's something big about to happen. Are you going to listen and obey, even though you don't see it? Even though you don't hear it, even though that there's no proof of it, are you going to listen to the prophetic word of God? And that's what God has called us to be. And so again, I going back to Noah, God said, once the door is closed, it's closed. Jesus himself said, in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. And so if it's going to be like the days of Noah, I'm thinking that it's going to be similar. There's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a small remnant of people that are going to be the ones that say, God, we're going to heed your voice. And we're going to do this so that your plan can come to pass. And listen, going back to the country of Armenia, I can't specifically say what all their relationship was to the Lord. But I do know that Armenia was the first Christian nation on this planet. Now, I don't know if you're listening, you may or may not know that. But Armenia was the first Christian nation. And there's a whole history that I don't have time to get into with that right now. But all those people, those millions that were killed, they were Christian people. So I know people say, well, God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that. But I'm telling you, Israel said that too. Israel said God would never let anybody come into Jerusalem. That's what they said. And God said, well, let me show you. I'm going to save my remnant people. He said, but I have to bring destruction to further my plan. I have to bring destruction to further my plan. And so I'm sure there were Armenians that said the same thing. Oh, God would never let the Turks come in here. He would never let the Muslims come in here and do anything. But you see, God has a remnant, and that remnant was long gone because God had picked them up and taken them. And so God always has a remnant. If you go back to the word of God, if you come even to modern history, God always has a remnant, and this prophet of God is sounding out the trumpet, and I'm beginning to say it, and I'm going to say it until God tells me don't say it anymore. But I'm telling people, one day the door is going to be closed. God is looking for, he's calling the remnant. He's calling the remnant. And what Benji's referring to is, you know, it's very easy for people to say, well, you're sitting there in we're not even in Loganville. I jokingly said this a couple of services ago. We're not even in Loganville. We're in between Georgia. But you know, there was a little town called Caracalla that our people came from. That no one in the world could have told you on the map where it was at. No one. But God found a group of people that he was able to use and bless. And so I'm making whoever, you know, I'm asking you to open your hearts. I'm asking you to share the message, say, because I know that God is touching your hearts, to that you know that I'm speaking the word of God. I know it. You could choose to receive it or not, but that's how the remnant works. That's how Jesus said, like in the days of Noah, and Noah and his family, they were mocked. They were mocked by everyone else around them. They were mocked and ridiculed. But when the door was shut, they all wanted to get in. And so that's what the remnant message is all about. Anything you want to add before we go to another example? Well, let's just keep jumping. That's what I just said. That's the message. That's the message. That's what it is. But I want to give some more examples.
Yeah, let's go. You know, so many.
Let's just keep going.
How about Elijah?
Elijah, again, one of the greatest examples. Elijah himself was a remnant. Elijah himself, he even went, you know, he felt so alone that he even said to God, he said, God, no one's listening. He said, he literally said, I alone am left of the prophets of God. He says, it's just me. He had just gone on Mount Carmel. He had just destroyed the hundreds of false prophets that were there. He had just called down fire from heaven. He had just ended a drought that had gone on for years, but he felt alone. And he went to the cave and said, God, I'm alone. And there's no one that left to even listen to me. What am I doing? And you know, sometimes as the remnant, that's how you feel. Because in reality, there's not a lot. There's not a lot. But God did come to Elijah and he said to him, Elijah, he said, there are 7,000 left that have not bowed the knee. And you know, 7,000 out of a nation of millions is not a lot. When you think about it, when you consider that the entire nation of Israel were considered God's people, 7,000 of a remnant that God can use is not a lot of people, not a lot at all. But that's who God uses. He uses the smaller group. And I want you to notice what he said. He said, I can use them because they've not bowed the knee. They've not bowed to these false idols. And I know it's a popular message in today's church. Well, if you're not like them, then they won't receive ministry from you. But God's not looking for people that are like them, like the world. He's looking for a remnant that haven't bowed the knee. That's what he's looking for, that haven't put their knee down to the worldly false things. That's what God is looking for. And so I call out to the remnant to say, God is looking for a group of people that can bring the spirit of Elijah, that can be a part of that remnant. Even as Elijah said, God, there are none. God said, no, there's some. There's not many, but there's some. And so I'm calling out and saying, if God is touching your heart, why don't you reach out to us? If God is touching your heart, excuse me, if God is touching your heart, maybe come and visit us. Maybe you're far away. I don't care. You come visit us. Come visit this small place and say, man of God, I heard and God touched my heart. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to bring Jesus back? Come and see what God is doing here. You know, there's so many. Let's go to Gideon. Yeah. You know, Gideon's 300. You had tens of thousands of people in an army, but God said, I don't need that. He said, I need 300. And I know people back then probably said, just like they would say today, well, you're telling us to go because we didn't drink water the right way? Mm-hmm. Go read the scripture. That's literally what happened. That's literally what happened. You're telling us that God can't use us because we didn't drink water the right way. And that's the feedback I get all the time from people. So you're telling me I'm not worshiping God the right way, the way that you feel? You think that God wants specific things from us? You think that God cares if I have my church at my kitchen table? You think God cares if I have my church? I can have church in my car driving to work. You think God cares? And I'm telling you that God has a specific way and a specific plan. And just like with Gideon, he said, no, those people, I can't use them. They were all God's people. They were all the servants of God. We'll call them the Christians of the day, just to kind of make it easier to understand. But God said, I can't use you, but I can use these 300. There's always, always, always a remnant. Let's go even further. Let's go further in history now. You go to after Jerusalem and Israel and Judah, all of that, the Assyrians had come, the Babylonians had come, and they had exiled all God's people that were left away. They had taken them away, and all that was left of God's people was just a very small group, a small group. You had this once proud nation of millions and millions and millions of people that were a proud people that were ruling the land in Solomon's day. But now they had been exiled off and were just a small group. But God said, that small group of remnant, I'm going to bring them back to their land. And through them, I'm going to bring the Messiah that's going to come and save the whole earth. You see, God always has a remnant. He always has a remnant. In that group of exiles, let's talk about, sometimes I talk about the remnant of the remnant. In that group of exiles, you find the remnant of the remnant when we talk about people like Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. They were the remnant of the remnant that God literally used to change the course of history. And even though there were all these exiles, God used Daniel and these three, particularly Daniel, but also his three friends. He used them because God, that's how God does things. He does things through the remnant. And let's now go into the New Testament. Jesus himself chose a remnant. He had 12, and he even said, I can't tell all these other people. He said, but I can tell you. I can tell you things that I can't tell them. And there came a time where Jesus said, it literally goes to say that Jesus was saying hard things. And boy, I hope people don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to compare me or us or anything, but there are times where I know I'm preaching hard things, and we've lost people because I've spoken hard things about them, about their family, I've said hard things, and they are so, so sure that they're right, and they're so sure that they're so close to the Lord, and they're hearing from God, and my message to them is destruction is coming. I don't say that proudly. I don't say that glibly. I say it because they don't understand what the remnant is about. And there came a time where Jesus was saying hard things, and he looked around and everyone had left him. All the people that were there, oh, miracles, miracles. All the people that were rejoicing. Hey, let's go to this conference. We got 10,000 people going to this conference over here because God's doing something. Oh, let's head down to Florida. Let's head down to Canada. Let's go here because, oh, there's all this stuff. There's gold dust coming down from the ceiling. But there came a time where the miracles and the gold dust and all of that kind of rang hollow because Jesus started saying hard things. And he looked around and he said, where did everybody go? Where were the tens of thousands of people that were clamoring? Where are they? And he looked over and all he saw were his 12 disciples. And he looked over at them. I could feel the sadness in his heart. And he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, speaking for the 12,
yes,
said the words that are the such remnant words.
Yes.
When he said, Lord, we have nowhere else to go. And I say that because this is the message you need to hear. As long as you have somewhere else to go or something else to do or another church to visit or another pastor to call or another video to watch, as long as you have that, then you're not a part of the remnant. until you get to that place like Peter, where he said, Lord, I know everyone else has left you, but we don't have anywhere else to go.
They don't view anything else as an option.
There is nothing. There's nowhere else for us. Until you get to that point, then you don't understand what the remnant is about. You don't understand. And so I come and bring it all full circle when I say to you that God always has a remnant. And right now is the remnant finding time. And I believe that there are hearts in countries on the other side of the world that maybe can't hear my voice right now. I pray that God finds a way for them to hear my voice. But maybe they can't hear my voice, but God is touching their hearts. Mm-hmm. And he's saying to them, I'm doing something. Just hold on. I'm doing something. And God's going to bring his remnant. He's going to bring his remnant to the forefront. And it's going to bring salvation and deliverance. And there's going to be destruction, though. Because that's how it always happens. That's how it always happens. But I speak one more time. If your heart is being moved, reach out to us. If you're already a part of what God is doing here in some way and you're listening, and I tell everyone that's here, watch our podcast. Make sure you watch it. So if you're already a part of it, I pray your heart is really touched right now and moved. Because God is looking. He's looking. It literally says he's looking for those who are loyal to him. That's the remnant. That's why King Asa was such a disappointment to God. The Bible says that Asa was a good, righteous king. But in the end of his life, he didn't show remnant loyalty to God. And he ended up being cursed. And that's the story, I'm sad to say, of what's going to be so many people. They said, Lord, I served you. I sang songs about you. I clapped my hands. We prayed sometimes. But you got to understand. Just like Asa, God's looking for people that have that covenant remnant loyalty where they say, we have nowhere else to go. Abraham, I want you to bring your son to me, but God, I love my son. No, Abraham, show remnant covenant loyalty to me. You see, that's what God is looking for, and it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard. And we believe that God, going back 160 years, has chosen this heritage to bring this message. And now we sit here in Little Between, Georgia, with cameras around us, speaking the message. And I pray we're touching your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Benji, tell them where they can see us.
All right. We got our regular Sunday morning 11 a.m. services and Wednesday night 7 p.m. services here at the City on a Hill Church, located in, the map will say Loganville, Georgia. Loganville, Georgia. We have those services in person. We also have them on our online and social, on online social platforms, that include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. They got an online function coming from our church every day, including devotions on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101 with me, Tuesday, 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast like this one every Friday at 8 p.m. Online. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify, wherever else you can listen to podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play your podcast for you. And last thing I want to say real quick is, if you were touched by this and you want to take next step in going after the remnant, do so with urgency. That's a word that Dad likes to use a lot. Do so with urgency.
Praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to cut anybody off. Is there anything that I missed that we want to talk about? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to have all these handsome and beautiful faces. I know I did most of the talking, but I had a message that needed to get out today to the remnant. So the Lord bless you. I hope to see you here very soon. God is building a remnant. God bless you.